Okay, we start at the top of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph by the two dots. And a special welcome to our friends on the west side who are going to be joining us for the shiur this morning. The Gemara now is going to address a Rabbi Yishmael's statement from yesterday. Rabbi Yishmael, that there's a kal v'chomer that he wanted to make that the Gemara discussed yesterday. There was a second statement that Rabbi Yishmael made, which was also somewhat difficult, and that is that what is the word par used for? He said in the bright that we brought, ma tamalomar the par, ze par elam dover shel tzibur, lipar, ze par koin mashiach. As opposed to the previous Braita that used one par for Yom HaKippurim and the other par for par kohen Mashiach.
I was hoping you'd go through the pesukim again, because
it's only one par. There's only one pasuk. Pasuk is in par delo Mashiach Tzibor, which is found here, which is Basal par, kasher asal par achatat, ken yaselo b'chiper alehem a kohen v'nislachachem. This is in par helam dover shel Tzibor, and here the word par is mentioned twice in that pasuk. So that extraneous pasuk has the word par mentioned twice. The original braita that started us on this sugya said one par is par shel Yom HaKippurim, the other par is par kohen Mashiach. Rabbi Shmuel come along and says, I don't need that. I can learn par Yom HaKippurim through a kal v'chomer. So then the one par will refer to par mishel dover shel tzibor. The second par will be par kohen Mashiach. But the problem is obvious with his statement, which is that why would you need Paralam Dover Shel Tzibur to be mentioned in the Pasuk? That is the parak in which the Pasuk is found. The Pasuk of Asala Par, Kasher Asala Par HaChatat, that extraneous Pasuk is in the Parsha of Paralam Dover Shel Tzibur. So why would you think that you need the Par to reference Paralam Dover Shel Tzibur? That's what the Gemara is going to deal with today. That's one introduction. The second introduction is that by Par Kohen HaMashiach, which is the first parsha in the list of the Chataot there, it mentions what you have to do with the par itself. And that is found in Pasuk Chet and Tet. It says in Pasuk Chet and Tet in Vayikra Dalet, Vet Kol Chelev Par Chatat Yerim Mimenu, Et HaChelev HaMechaseh Al HaKerev, Vet Kol HaChelev Asher Al HaKerev. So those are the fats must be removed from the par, and they're going to be placed on the Mizbeach. In addition, there's another pasuk, Pasuk Tet, which says, Et Shteach Layot, Vet HaChelev Asher Lehen, Asher Laksalim, Vet HaYoteret Al HaKaveid, Al HaKlayot Yisirenu. So in addition to the fats that we mentioned before, you must also add in the fats that are around the klayot, around the kidneys, and also the yoteret al kaved, the fats that are found by the extension from the liver, which is probably somewhere between the liver and the lung. There's a section of fat there also, and part of the kaved itself will have to end up on the mizbeach. That last pasuk tet, which is the shtei klayot and the yoteret al kaved, is found by the par kohen Mashiach. It is not found in Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. It's also not found in Par Yom HaKippurim. And it's also not found in Seir L'Avodah Zarah. So in all these cases, the Gemara's want to know, how do we know that the fats that end up on the Mizbeach with all these Chataot are not just the normal fats, but include these additional items that are mentioned by Par Kohen Mashiach, which is the Shtei Klayot and the Yoteret HaKaveit. The third piece of the introduction, then we'll start the Gemara, is that if you remember from Horayot, that we had two parshiot that dealt with the Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. Two instances where the Tzibur brings a korban when the Rova Tzibur does an Aveira. One is Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, the parsha that we've been dealing with, and that's for any Aveira that would have karet associated with it and a chatat kavua, where the Rov Ha'am makes a mistake based on the Psak of Beit Din, they would bring a Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. The one exception was the Aveira of Avodah Zarah. The Aveira of Avodah Zarah has a separate parsha in Parsha Shlach Lecha. Parsha Shlach Lecha, the Gemara Darshan, to that parsha speaking about an Aveira of Avodah Zarah, the same instance, but just about Avodah Zarah. And then the Torah gives us a prescription. You have to do a par liola, and then there has to be a seir izim echad lechatat. A seir izim in addition to that as a chatat. That seir izim lechatat, the Torah gives absolutely no description about what you do with it. It doesn't tell you, as opposed to here, par kohen Mashiach, par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, it might be missing little items here and there, but generally it tells you what you have to do with the dam, and it tells you what you have to do with the chelev, and what you have to do with the bor, and the rest of the basar that is burnt. But over there, by the seir of Avodah Zarah, there's nothing mentioned. The next pasuk is, v'chiper ha-kohen al kol adat Yisrael, v'nislach lehem, kishka gahi, Vim heviu et karbanam mishel Hashem chatatam lifnei Hashem ashigigatam. It's just a conclusion pasuk that they get kapara if the kohen does this. But the description of what is done with that seir, there is no description whatsoever. And so we need to know what the avodot are done by the seir. How do we know them? That we know from our pasuk. If you remember back in the original Braita, when we brought the pasuk of asal lapar, kasheser lapar hachatat, Gemara back on Lama Ted and Mudbet said, what is hachatat? Elu seirei avodat kochavim. So the word chatat comes to include the seir avodah zarah that's mentioned in Shlach Lecha. So this pasuk, asal lapar, kasher asal lapar, also teaches us that the seir avodah zarah, the seir chatat avodah zarah, has the same exact dinim as the par helam davar shel tzibur. Right, those are the introductions here, the three things that we need to know. One is that Par Kohen Mashiach has these extra facts that end up on the Mizbeach. Number two is the Seir, Avodah Zarah, that is mentioned in Shlach Lecha has nothing mentioned by it in terms of what you're supposed to do with the Chatat. That is all learnt out from Par Helam Davar Tzibur because of the extra word Chatat found in the Pasuk of Asah Lapar, Kasher Asah Lapar. And the last thing which we mentioned is Rabbi Shmuel's position that the word Par that's mentioned twice in that Pasuk, one Par is for Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, and the second one is for Par Kohen Mashiach. Okay, let's begin the Gemara now. The Gemara says, Lapar, Zeh Parlam Dabashel Tzibur, that's the statement of Rabbi Shmuel. Hab Tzibur Gufei Ktiv. What do you mean that the par there is referring to par helam davar shel tzibur? That's the parsha we're in. You don't need an extraneous pasuk to tell me that we're actually found in the pasuk. We're talking about par helam davar shel tzibur. We know that. So Amar Rapapa, Rapapa says this is the solution to that. Mishum debay egure par helam davar shel tzibur biyoteret ushtei klayot l'seirei avodat kochavim. The reason that we need this is because Seir Avodah Kochavim has, as we said before, nothing written by it. Now we want to learn from Parham Helam Davar Shel Tzibur everything that is written by Parham Helam Davar Shel Tzibur over to the Seir L'Chatat. How do we do that? We do that through the extra word L'Chatat that is found in the Pasuk Vasah Par. But in addition to that, we also want to learn the Shtei Klayot and the Yoteret HaKaved that are found by Par Kohen Mashiach. We want to get that limud over to the Seir of Avodah Zarah. Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur has the limud that Seir is exactly like Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. But we also want those Shtei HaKlayot and Yoteret HaKaved that are found in the Parsha of Kohen Mashiach. Well, that's not a problem. Why? Because Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur is Hukash LePar Kohen Mashiach. That's the second par Kohen Mashiach. And that Hekesh will tell us, just like the Par Kohen Mashiach has Shtei Klayot V'Yoteret HaKaved, so too the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur also has Shtei Klayot V'Yoteret HaKaved. Well, if the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur has that, then we can also throw the Hekesh between Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur and the Seir of the Chatat. We can move all that information over to the Seir of the Chatat. The only problem with that is, we have a rule in Kochim, in Davar Alamed Mehekesh, Choser Malamed Behekesh. If you learn something through a Hekesh, you can't use it again through a Hekesh to teach something else. So now we have a problem. We're faced with an issue. We learn out from Par Kohen Mashiach to Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur about the Shtei Klayot V'Yoteret HaKaved. Now you're trying through a Hekesh to move that over to the Seir of Avodah Zarah. That's not going to work. And that's what Rapapa says. That's what this limud of Rabbi Shmuel comes to solve. So let's read it inside now. Amar Rapapa Mishom Debay Gmurei Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur B'Yoteret Ushtei Klayot L'Sh Seir Hei Avodat Kochavim U'Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur B'Gufei Loktiv. That in the actual parsha of Parlam Servant Zil Tzibur, there is no Shtei HaKlayot and there is no Yoteret HaKaved. The Hekesh Ati. It comes from a Hekesh. The Hekesh between Par Kohen Mashiach and Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. So it's Trich LePar. Therefore, we need the word Par found in the parsha of Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. Mehavik man dichtivei begufei. To make as if it's literally written there. Velo lahave davar alamei behekesh, choser umalamei behekesh. So instead of having it be a double hekesh, which means the hekesh from Par Kohen Mashiach to Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, and then from Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur to Seir L'Chatat, or Seir L'Avodah Zarah, what we'll do is the word par that's found in that extraneous pasuk that says par means Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, that extra par comes to teach me that whatever is learnt in this parsha is as if it's written literally in this parsha. So even though we've learnt Shtei Klayot and Yoteret HaKaved from Par Kohen Mashiach Yedei HaHekesh to Par Helam Davar Tzibur, Now that extra word par, which says par halam darshat tzibur, means that it's as if it's now everything we've learned is now written in the parsha of par halam darshat tzibur. If that's true, then we go and learn with a hekesh from par halam darshat tzibur to Sira v'doch chavim. That's only the first hekesh. It's not a double hekesh anymore. It's only a single hekesh. So that's the reason to have a double writing of par halam darshat tzibur, the parsha itself, plus the extra word par. That extra word par comes to stamp, make like a stamp as if anything that we know about par halam darshat tzibur is if it's literally written in the parsha at this point in time.
So why not just learn that from a hekesh from Parak
Mayim Hashem? Because where is their hekesh?
In that pasuk.
Right, so then...
We're kind of tasks in that pasuk.
Right.
The word...
So the Rabbeinu Tam asked that yesterday, we mentioned this yesterday's daf, the Rabbeinu Tam asked that yesterday, he says there is no hekesh between the items that are found in the psukim. It's not like there's an open hekesh that you can learn anything from anything in the psukim. That we don't say. That pasuk is found in the parsha of Problems of Dibur. So the only hekesh that's made is between where the pasuk is found and the items that are mentioned in that pasuk, not between different items or disparate items found in the pasuk. So now the Gemara continues. Tanya kavati de Rav Papa. I have a braita that supports the position of Rav Papa. Vasa kasher asa. That's the extraneous pasuk from Problems of Dibur. Matam lomar lepar. So then, what's the word par mean? The fish in Emar, because it says by Seir Avodat Chochavim or Seir Lechataat, that's found in the Pasha, it says, Behem Heviu et Karbanam Ishel Hashem V'chatatam Lifnei Hashem Al Shigigatam. So that's the pasuk that's found by the Seir of Avodah Zarah. Now the Gemara Darsh, it's Behem Heviu et Karbanam Ishel Hashem Chatatam. What does the word Chatatam mean? Elu, Sire, Avodat Kochavim. Shigigatam, the word Shogeg at the end of that pasuk, Ze, Parhelam Dabashel Tibor. So what's the limud? Chatatam, Al Shigigatam. Amra Torah, Chatatam, Hari Lecha, Kishigigatam. The Chatat is like the Shogeg. The Chatat being the Seir Lavod Zerah, the Seir Lechatat Lavod Zerah, is exactly like the Par Helam Dabar Shel Tzibur. Mehechan Lamarata. So he says, where did you learn that from? Lo behekesha. Aren't you learning that out of a hekesh? V'chi davar halameid behekesh. Choserum lameid behekesh. That something that's learned through a hekesh can then now teach you more from a hekesh. Tambalomar goes back to our pasuk over here. Vasa lapar, which is asa lapar. Kashi asa lapar. Tambalomar par. Ze par al davar shel tzibur. Lapar. Ze par koin mashiach. So this is exactly Rav Papa's limud. Rav Papa had this limud that the par halam darshat tzibur is necessary here in order to allow me to learn from par koin mashiach to seir la avodah zarah, because I have to pass through par halam darshat tzibur, and that'll be a hekesh la hekesh. How do I get over that problem? I have the word par, which tells me par halam darshat tzibur. So the braita does the same thing. The braita says I have a pasuk by seir la avodah zarah that tells me to compare it to make a hekesh back to par halam darshat tzibur. But even if I have the hekesh back to par halam darshat tzibur, how do I get the information that is learned in Parham Dabashil Tzibor through a hekesh over to the Seir Lavod Zerah? The answer again of that breita is lapar. The word lapar that is found in the parsha of Parham Dabashil Tzibor teaches me Parham Dabashil Tzibor. It's keilu nichtav. Anything that's learned from anywhere else to Parham Dabashil Tzibor is now as if it's written literally in the parsha. And if it's written literally in the parsha, then I can learn from a hekesh, from there in a hekesh to Seir Lavod Zerah. And that's why this breita supports the position of Rav Papa, because it says exactly what Papa just said. Amamar. So now the Gemara goes back to Darshan. What's this drasha in the Braita here? Chatatam elu sirei avodat chochavim. So Gemara says, typically mikra kama. Why do I need two psukim to make a hekesh between Paralam Davashil Tzibor and Seir Lavodah Zarah? Where do I have two hekeshim? I have one hekesh in the pasuk itself of Paralam Davashil Tzibor, which is Vasalapar, Kasher Salapar Ha Chatat. There we darshan Chatat meant Sirei Avodat Chochavim. That's my first hekesh. The second hekesh I have is found in the psukim in Bamidbar by Seir Lavodah Zarah. There we also have a hekesh between Seir Lavodah Zarah and Paralam Davashil Tzibor, which is Chatatam al Shigigatam, where we said Chatat referred to Seir Avodah Zarah and Shigigatam referred to Paralam Davashil Tzibor. So I have two hekeshim telling me the same hekesh, telling me that there's a hekesh between Paralam Davashil Tzibor and Seir Lavodah Zarah. Why do I need one hekesh found in the pasuk of Paralam Davashil Tzibor and one found in the parsha of Seir Lavodah Zarah? It's not necessary. So that's what the Gemara is going to address now. Amamar, Chatatam elu Sirei Avodat Chachavim, Tikul Emi Krakama. Why don't you learn it out of the word Chatat that we found by Parum Dovid Shet Zibor. Damar Mar, because we had the Braita that we brought before, Hachatat, the Rabot, Sirei Abodat Kochavim. So again, Rav Papa to the rescue. Amar Rav Papa, Itzrich, I need this. Sachadat Chamina Hanim Milei Hazaot Dichtivan Begufei. I would think that the only things that you can bring over by a Hekesh are the Hazaot that are written literally in the Parsha. But Aval Yoteret Ushtei Kalayot Loktivin Begufei Emalo, that I can't bring them over. Kamash Malon, that I do. Chatatam Ashigigatam teaches me that even so, I bring over the additional items. Now, what would have been the Havamina not to bring these items over? So that Rashi explains over here at the bottom of the Amud Aleph. Hani mili dit rabbi yisuret chavim ledin parlam hazot dichtivan bigufei behedja. Rashi says it's not written in the Parsha. But there's also the additional item, if you remember, that the Pasuk in which the word Chatat is found says Vechiper. And that word Chiper, remember, means something that brings Kapara. And the only thing that's Makib Kapara is the Hazaot. The Shtei HaKlayot and the Yoter are not Makib Kapara. So if I had a Havamin of what to include from the first Hekesh, it's only going to be things that are Makib Kapara, which are the Hazaot. The second Hekesh, the additional Hekesh, tells me also learn Shtei HaKlayot and the Yoter, which are not Makib Kapara. Bring those in addition to the items that are mentioned in the first Hekesh that are Makiv Kapara. Shaul is asking, all right, what about Rabbi? So Rabbi Shmuel has solved the problem, but Rabbi, who argues on Rabbi Shmuel and says that par here means parshel Yom HaKippurim, how does he get over this problem of the Hekesh to Hekesh? So this comes to solve, Shaul, your question, what's Rabbi going to do? Rebbe will have the double Hekesh. The double Hekesh will teach me, not only do I bring over the Hazaot that are written, but I also bring over the Yoteret HaKoveid and the Shtei HaKlayot that are not written. Since we have the Seger Hekesh twice, that additional Hekesh will tell me that I can still bring over the Yoteret HaKoveid and Shtei HaKlayot. Now, it doesn't totally answer the question, because in the end, you still have Hekesh LeHekesh, because it's coming Parakoy Mashiach to Parlam Davish Tzibor, Parlam Davish Tzibor to Sirei of the Zarah. But I think you're going to have to answer, like you're suggesting over here, which is just like the extra word par made it as if it's written in the Parsha. You have to say that the two, double Hekesh, having a double Hekesh, is also going to give you that access to the Hekesh learned from Parakoy Mashiach. The Gemara is going to ask a question now on Rav Papa. The only problem is, Rav Papa is in our Gemara numerous times answering numerous questions. And the question that's asked on Rav Papa is, which statement of Rav Papa was this question asked on? And that turns out to be a Machlokas Rashi and Tosafot here about which Rav Papa is being challenged over here. So Amalei Rav Huna Brei de Rav Natan Rav Papa. Vaha Tana Por Yom HaKurim D'chol Mashamur B'inyan Kamar. So I'll read it like Rashi, which is, Braita that we brought before, Tanya Kavate de Rav Papa, that says, Vasa Kasher Asa Matam Lomar Lepar, the Rabot Par Yom HaKurim D'chol Mashamur B'inyan. To include Par Yom HaKurim for everything. Lakol means everything that's written over here. Now, Rashi says, Rav Papa made a statement before, when we had the Braita Lepar, means Par Yom HaKippurim, what was the limud that we learned from Par Yom Dovishel Tzibur to Par Yom HaKippurim? Rav Papa said we learned three items. Vitaval, Et Etzba'o, Badam. Those three limudim, those three items, are what we brought from Par Yom Dovishel Tzibur over to Par Yom HaKippurim. Taval teaches me don't wipe it on the side of the clay. Edetzbo teaches me no warts and blisters are not a chatzitza. And Bidam means that at the time of Kabbalah Dam, you have to have enough to do the full tevilah in it. We face the same problem, and Rashi and Tosafot argue about how we do this, but we face the same problem of a Hekesh LeHekesh, because Taval Edetzbo Badam is not found in Par Yom Dovishel Tzibur, it's found in Par Kohen Mashiach, which then makes it a Hekesh LeHekesh again. And Tosfos answers for Rashi, and for himself gives a different interpretation. For Rashi, he says, because the two main words, par, that are mentioned in the Parsha, Vasa Lepar, Kasher Asa Lepar, one is Par Yom HaKippurim, and one is Par Kohen Mashiach. Therefore, it's as if they are literally Hukash Echad L'Sheni. That's the way Tosfos solved the problem for Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam himself says that in the Parsha, Parlam Dav Shetzibur, it says, Betavala Kohen Be'etzva'o Minadam. So even though it doesn't have the exact words that we have in Par Kohen Shemashiach, once we've defined what the word Taval means, and what the word Etzbo means, and what the word Dam means, then through Par Kohen Shemashiach, that is the definition when we write it in other parshiot. So When it's written, Par Olam Davar Shel Tzibur, B'Taval, that means like the Taval we saw in Paragoyen Mashiach. When it says Etzbo, means like the Etzbo we saw in Paragoyen Mashiach, which means includes with the blisters or the warts. And Dam, Min Adam, is the same as Badam, that we would put, you have to have the full Dam there when you do the Kabbalat Adam, and you have to do the Tzvila and not wipe it on the side of the Keli. That's what Rav Papa learned from Par Yom HaTipurim. But the Braita that we brought before says that the Par Yom HaKim Tismi Choma Amur Ba'inyan, everything that's written here. So Rav Huna says, I'm sorry Rav Papa, that doesn't sound like you. You sound like there's just a finite number of items. These three items in particular are what learned from Par Yom HaTipurim to Par Yom HaKipurim. The Braita says everything that's written in the Inyan. And Rashi claims that that means even the fact that it's Me'akev. That by Par Yom HaKippurim, how do we know that all the Avodot by Yom HaKippurim are Ma'akev? We learn it out from here. Just that extraneous pasuk of Par, that we say means Par Yom HaKippurim, teaches me that everything that's written by Yom HaKippur, by the Par, is also Ma'akev. We had rejected that. Rav Papa had rejected that limud, because he says, it says by Yom HaKippurim, the word chukah. Literally, it says chok, and we know chukah means is La'akev. Or, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, we said, V'chila mi'chiper et ha-kodesh. V'chila mi'chiper means you have to do everything in order to get the kaparat. It's not done until you do everything. So either one of those teaches us the equal. We don't need the par here to teach us that. But Rav Huna says, that's not what the Braita sounds like. The Braita doesn't sound like you, Rav Papa. Now, what's interesting is that the Gemara brought that Braita as a proof to Rav Papa. It said, Tanya kavati to Rav Papa. And they brought it as. Now Rav Huna is saying, wait, that Braita really doesn't sound like Rav Papa, and that's somewhat of the problem with Rashi's reading of this Gemara. But that's what Rashi says. Rav Huna says to him, Rav Papa, that Braita doesn't sound to you, but Ta'atana Parni Yom HaKim D'chol Mashim Bar Inyan Kamar. His answer is, Tanahi, it's a Machloket Tanaim. Tana Debei Rav, Rabbi Hochi. Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Lom Rabbi Hochi. It depends which Tana you're using. Tana de Bei Rav, which Rashi claims over here, it's an interesting Rashi, says Tana de Bei Rav means Kol Tana Rabbanon Kari Tana de Bei Rav. Now if you change the Girsa, change down below is Torat Kohanim, which makes more sense, not Tana Rabbanan, but all Torat Kohanim would be called Tana de Bei Rav. And then you have another Braita, which is the Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, and that's what, as Rashi points out, it's similar to Rav Oshi and Rav Chia. The Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel is not only statements by Rabbi Shmuel, it's statements by all different Tanaim that were learnt in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel, or put together as Dara Yedei Rabbi Shmuel. So I have two Braitot and two opinions. One Braita is going to believe that Par for Yom HaKippurim is only coming to include and then a couple of items that I mentioned. The Etzba'o, the Bidam, and the Vitaval. That's one Braita. You brought me the Braita of Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. That Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel over there, but it says Kol Amur B'Parsho. You're right, that's another Tana. That Tana I don't hold like. I'm not explaining that Tana, I'm explaining another Tana. So that's the answer that Rav Papa gives. What's interesting again is that the Gemara brought that Braita as a proof to Rav Papa, and now Rav Papa is saying that Braita is not like me. So that's why it's somewhat difficult. Tosva says, no, that the question here is on the previous Gemara. The previous Gemara dealt with Seir v'Avodah Zarah. The previous Gemara dealt, and Rav Papa solved us the problem, why do I need Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur to be written in the Parsha Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur? That's to teach me that there's no double hekesh here. The Shtei HaKlayot and Yoteret HaKaveh that I learned from Par Kohen Mashiach, the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, I can pass that on to the Seir L'Chatat, because now it's as if it's written in the Parsha. But, according to the other opinions that say that we're talking about Par Yom HaKippurim, and according to even to Debei Rabbi Shmuel, we said that Par Yom HaKippurim is also learned from Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. Well, you know that also by Par Yom HaKippur, there is no Shtei Klayot and Yoteret HaKaveh written either. And how are we going to learn that out? We're going to learn that out from Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. So how come, according to the Mand Amar that says Par means Par Yom HaKippurim, and the second Par means Par Kohen Mashiach, why don't you have the problem of the double Hekish? You're learning Shtei Klayot Yoteret HaKaveh by Par Yom HaKippurim from Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur only knows it from Par Kohen Mashiach. So that's Rav Huna's question to Rav Papa is, I understand why you had a par, according to one who says that a par on the Parsha was literally written there, now I understand, in order to make everything like written in the Parsha. Therefore you can pass it on to the other Parshiot. But according to you, Rav Papa, which is another opinion that says par means par yom ha-kippurim, if par means par yom ha-kippurim, then how do I move Shtei HaKlayot and Yoteret HaKaveh from Par Kohen Mashiach all the way over to par yom ha-kippurim? I have to pass from Par Yom HaKippurim to Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, from Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur to Par Yom HaKippurim. That's a Hekesh for Hekesh. How come over there you don't have to have it be literally written in the parsha? What's Rapapa's answer? Rapapa's answer is Trei Tanai. There are two different Tanayim here. There's Tana de Bei Rav and there's Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel. Tana Rabbi Shmuel, who has it mean Parlam Davshul Tzibur, he doesn't have a problem because now it's as if it's literally written in the Pasuk. The Rabbi or the Tana de Bei Rav, who has Par Yom HaKippurim written in the Pasuk, how do they deal with that? So that, Tosa says there's another Pasuk. Actually, you tear the Kaveh to Shtei Klayot, but Par Yom HaKippurim, the Tanya, but Torah Kohanim. It's learned in Torah Kohanim, which would be Tana de Bei Rav, that Kol Chelev L'Rabot Par Yom HaKippurim Le'Yoteret U'Shtei HaKlayot. So they have a limud from Kol Chelev, which is a totally separate. The way they get it to Par Yom HaKippurim is not through a Hekesh. So Ein Ochanami, when it comes to Seir L'Avodah Zarah, we learn it out from Par Olam Davashel Tzibor, and Par Olam Davashel Tzibor we learned out from Par Kohen Mashiach. You solve that problem one of two ways. Either Rabbi Shmuel says that the word par means Par Olam Davashel Tzibor is literally written in the Parsha, or the double Hekesh. Now, by Par Yom HaKippurim, if you learn that the Par here means Par Yom HaKippurim, how do I get from Par Kohen Mashiach, Shtei Klayot Yoter HaTekavei, to Par Olam Davashel Tzibor, and then over to Yom Kippur? I don't have a double Hekesh, and I don't have the Par Olam Davashel Tzibor written twice. So how do I solve that problem? I have a totally different limud, and that's Tana de Bei Rav. That puzzle is called Chelev, which is found in the Parsha of Kohen Mashiach, but Kol Chelev Parachatat. That Kol comes to the Rabot Par Yom HaKippurim. So that Riboy comes right out of the parish of Karim Goyim Mashiach, and therefore you're not dealing with a Hekesh anymore. So that's the way Tosfos learns as opposed to Rashi. Rashi learns the questions on the original statement of Rapapa about Tovol, Etetzba'o, and Badam. And Rapapa's answer is there are two brightot. The Rabbeinu Tam, the Tosfos says no, that the question is on Rapapa's position that we're afraid of a double Hekesh, therefore we have to have it be as if written in the parish, either through the double Hekesh Avodah Zarah to Parlam Davar Tzibor, or through the extra Par Helam Davar Tzibor that's written by Par Yom HaKippurim. How are we going to deal with that? You're right. We can't learn it that way. We'll have to go to a different pasuk, a different limud, in order to get it over to Par Yom HaKippurim that doesn't involve a Hekesh. All right. Now, a little data. Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, Mipnei Ma Nemru Yoteret Ushtei Klayot Par Kohen Mashiach Lo Nemru Parlam Davar Tzibor. The whole problem that is here is that why is it written by Par Kohen Mashiach and why is it absent in the Pasha of Parlam Davar Tzibor? Mashal, the Melech Basar Vadam. I'll give you a parallel. That's like a king. Shazam Aloavo got angry at one of his friends or one of his close confidants. Umiyet Bisirchano Mipnei Chibato. When he described the offense or the breach of the one that he loved, he did it in a little way, small way, because of his love. So the same thing here in our parshiot. What are the two parshiot? The Par Kohen Mashiach, which only deals with the Kohen Gadol. The Par Olam Davar Tzibor, which deals with Klal Yisrael as a whole. So when it comes to Klal Yisrael as a whole, the Chibah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael as a whole, there, he just minimizes what he has to say. So therefore he leaves out little pieces that we have to get out of a Hekesh from Par Kohen Mashiach. When he's dealing with a single individual, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu leads out everything. He puts everything there. So that's the idea here of the Mashal, that by Par Kohen Mashiach, everything's explicit and laid out. By Par Olam Davar Tzibor, it's somewhat hidden. It's not all explicit. We have to learn some of these things out from a Hekesh. V'tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, Mipam ne'emar paruchat HaKodesh be'Par Kohen Mashiach, v'lo namer Par Olam Davar Tzibor, when it comes to the Hazaot Adam, the Sheva Hazaot Adam, in the parsha of Par Kohen Mashiach, it says this: "B'tavala Kohen Etzvo Badam, Bizamin Adam Sheva Peim Lifnei Hashem Et Pnei Parochet Hakodesh." If you go to the pasuk in Par Olam Davar Tzibor, the same pasuk almost identically: "B'tavala Kohen Etzvo Min Adam, Bizah Sheva Peim Lifnei Hashem Et Pnei Haparochet." What's missing? Parochet Hakodesh. The word Kodesh is absent in the parsha of Par Olam Davar Tzibor, but it is present in Par Kohen Mashiach. So why is it that the extra word Kodesh is found in Par Kohen Mashiach? And that's what Tana Bei Shmuel comes to explain. It says, Mashal, the Melech Basar Adam, again, it's a Mashal to a king, Shesarcha Alav Medina, that he has some sort of rebellion, a revolt on his hands. Im Mi'uata Sarcha Pamal Shalom Mitkayemet. If it's a small group of individuals, if it's a minority of his kingdom that's rebelling, then his structure is still in place. His friends, his confidants are still with him. His advisors are still there. His rulership, his authority is still in place. In Rubasircha, on the other hand, if the revolution, the rebellion is being done by the robe of his kingdom, the robe of his jurisdiction, then in Palmal Yosho Mitkayemet. At that point in time, his authority, his rulership, his circle of confidants don't exist anymore because now he has a big problem on his hands that most of the people are not accepting his authority. So the same thing over here. When the par Kohen Mashiach is about one individual, the Kohen Gadol, who was Sarach, did a chait to Hashem. So therefore, the Parochet HaKodesh is still there. Everything is still intact. It's just one individual that sinned. On the other hand, if Rov B'nai Yisrael sinned, there's a big problem. It's ke'ilu, there is now some diminishment in the Malchus of HaKodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore it only says Parochet, and not Parochet HaKodesh. So anyway, these are the two Tanit B'nai Shmols. For those of you that do Shtai Mikra with Rashi, Rashi brings these both down in the Parshiot in Vayikra. He mentions these two Tanit B'nai Shmols when he's talking about these Parshiot. Right now, the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah. It's been a long time since we sent the Mishnah, so just to review, at the end of the Mishnah, it says, Lefikach. When it comes to the Chatot HaPnimiyot, we say that all of the Nitinot, all the Matan Dam, are Me'akvot. Well, since they're all Me'akvot, the Gemara says, Lefikach, the Mishnah says, Natan Kulam Ketikanam, if he did them all right, V'achat Shelo Tikanam, and he did the last one wrong, Psula ve'im bo karet. It's pasul, but there is no karet. When he say he did it wrong, he did it with machshevet chutz lizmano. So he did 6 out of the 7 properly, and then the 7th one he does with a machshevet chutz lizmano. There the Mishnah seems to indicate it's pasul. Ve'im bo karet. Why is it pasul ve'im bo karet? Pasul because all of the matanot are me'akev, and he had the wrong machsheva by one of the matanot. On the other hand, why is it not Chayav Karet? Why isn't it Pigul if he had a Machshav B'chutz Lizmano? There we said, and this is what the Gemara is about to explain, that he was only Mefagel B'chatzi Matir. The Matir for the Chatot of Pnimiyot are all of the Matnot Dam. Over there he only had a Machshav and one out of the 7. So he's only Mefagel B'chatzi Matir. If he's Mefagel B'chatzi Matir, that doesn't make it into Pigul. It's enough to be Pusel, but not enough to be Mefagel to make it Chayav Karet. And that's what the Gemara is about to discuss. We have a Mishnah Menachot, not Atam. Pigel bekometz velo belevana, belevana velo bekometz. When it comes to a mincha, a general mincha that is brought in the mikdash has two things that must end up on the mizbeach. There's the levona, the frankincense that's brought with it, as well as the kometz. The kometz is the, call it a fistful that is taken off by the kohen from the mincha itself, separated out. If you remember earlier in the first paragraph, we discussed how that is similar to the avodat habehema, that the hafrashat kometz is like shchita. The placing of the kometz in a kli sharet is like kabbalat adam. The halacha of the kometz to the mizbeach is the equivalent of halachat adam. And the zrikat adam is similar as placing the kometz al ha mizbeach. So therefore, when it comes to a mincha, there are two items that are matirit. One is the kometz, the other one is the levona. You have two items that must end up on the mizbeach. Here we have an instance where you had a machshavet pigul with one of those two items, either with the kometz or with the levona. Rabbi Meir Omer, pigul v'chayiv v'nalav karet. Rabbi Meir believes, mifaglim b'chatzi matir. Rabbi Meir believes that even if you do it on half of matir, it's still pigul, and therefore this item is pigul and you're chayiv karet. Chamim amrim, ein bo karet, ad shivagel b'chol matir. Chamim believe there's no such thing as pigul b'chatzi matir, and therefore until you are mifagel, both in the levona and in the kometz, then it won't be chayav karet. You will not have a machshevet chutz lezmano that's impactful until you have that machshava both about the levona as well as about the kometz. So now, a couple of items to focus on over here. When we say you have a machshava over here, what does it mean that you have a machshava? Rashi comments over here and says, v'chol machshava de kodshim motzi b'pehu. Anytime we talk about machshava and kodshim, it means that you actually explicitly state it. If you go back to, there's a Tosafot on Daf Bet, as well as on Daf Dalet Amud Bet, that seems to say the similar thing. That when it comes to kodshim, that machshava is not sufficient. You need dibur b'peh. We don't want you just thinking chutz lizmano. We need you to say that you intend to do this chutz lizmano. In Tosas and Daf Bet, references a Tosas in Aperka Mafkid, in Baba Metzia, Daf Memgamon Bet, there where he explicitly says that pigul requires dibur and not machshava. But despite that fact, Tosos and Daf Dalet Amud Bet says that even though it's dibur, it's still not classified as a ma'aseh. It's a machshava. It's a dibur that's classified as machshava, not a dibur that's classified as a ma'aseh. That you actually need a physical action besides the dibur to make it into a ma'aseh. That dibur will still be classified as machshava. So now, that's number one. Number two is, the chachamim over here say that ein bo karet, ad shekabel b'kol matir, what is the status if he is mefagel in the chatzi matir? If he has a pigul in the chatzi matir, is the karban mutar? Or is the karban pasul? Tosos over here says that in other places it seems that the Gemara thinks it's totally mutar. Yet over in here from our Gemara it sounds like it's actually pasul. So Tosos says maybe it's a gzera here. It's a gzera derabonan over here because by the mincha we have two matirim. One is levona and one is kometz. There are certain instances where one of these items would be enough. For instance, a minchat chote. A minchat chote does not come with levona. And therefore, the only thing that from the minchat chote that ends up in the mizbeach is the kometz. It has a single matir, which is a kometz. By the lechem apanim, what ends up on the mizbeach? The shnei bazichei levona. That levona itself is the only matir for the lechem apanim that ends up in the mizbeach. So since in other places we find each of these items being a single matir, therefore maybe the rabbanu would go there over here. When you're mefagel b'chatzi matir, that it's pasul, even though it's not chayav karet. Whereas in other instances where it's mefagel and a chatzi matir, the chamim will say that it's mutar legamre, because over there there's no reason to be gozer on the chatzi matir for a full matir in some other location. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish, lo teima taimi de Rabbi Meir. Let's not say that Rabbi Meir's reasoning, as what Shirai said, was the kasabar mefagel b'chatzi matir. Chatzi matir is enough to make something pigel. If you're mefagel in one of the two items, that makes it pigel. This is what Rabbi Meir's position is. Gagon, that he does the kometz v'machshava, which we said before means dibur. He says it that he's going to do it chutz l'zmano, and then he does levona with silently. Kasavar, and Rabbi Meir believes, kol osel dat rishona hu osel, that whenever you continue without making any statement to the contrary, it's continuing along the lines of what you said prior to that. So what Rish Lakish is now saying about Rabbi Meir is that the order matters. According to Rabbi Meir, if you were to be silent first and then have a dibur on the second matir, it would not be pigul according to Rabbi Meir. Because I don't think that Rabbi Meir believes that chatzi matir is enough to make something pigul. I believe that if you do the first matir b'pigul, then the second one by default is pulled along unless you have a contrary statement. And that's what Rabbi Meir's position. My position is shtika kahoda. If you don't say anything, it's as if that you're continuing the statement that was made before. Somebody says, Mimai, how do you know that? Miditani, because it says in our Mishnah, Lafikach, im natan kulan kitikunan, if he puts all of the hazaot of the chatat pnimit properly, six of them right, v'chach lo kitikunan, and the last one he does improperly, pasul ve'in bo karet, it's pasul and has no karet. Ha, the inference from that statement in our Mishnah is, if you had done the first one improperly, the first of the seven you had done improperly, and then the subsequent six, pigol, it will be pigol, mani. Who could be the author of that position in our Mishnah? If it's a Rabbanon, ha'amri Rabbanon, emefagim b'chatzim matir. The Rabbanon are clear that emefagim b'chatzim matir means you got to do, the makshava has to be in all of the items that are the matir. That means for the Rabbanon, you have to have a makshavet chutz l'zmano, means speaking it out, about all seven of the hazot. Can't be just about one of them. So the Rabbanon cannot be the author of our Mishnah. Ella, who's the author of Mishnah? Rabbi Meir. If according to Rabbi Meir, the reason that from Menachot, that he says there, your chayab karet, is because you're allowed to be mfagel in a chatzim matir, then over here, how do you explain that? Then the way it's written in our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Meir, should also end up with a chayab karet. You do six right, and the seventh one you do wrong. That's a chatzim matir, and it should be chayab karet. Yet the Mishnah says, pasul. So then what? Laugh. Must be Mishum de Kasabar. Rabbi Meir really holds that Kolosel dat Rishona Use. And that's how we can explain our Mishnah now. The difference between whether you do the Machshavat Chutz L'Zmano at the end or at the beginning makes a difference according to Rabbi Meir. If you do it in the beginning, you have a Chiyuv Karet on your hands because then the subsequent six are done b'shtika. The shtika goes as if they did everything b'chutz l'zmano. Whereas the case in our Mishnah, where he does the six right or correctly first, and then the seventh one he does incorrectly, that happens at the end. There's no shtika goda, and therefore it'll be pasul and no chayim karet, even according to Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir will be the author of our Mishnah. So now we're going to have two rejections of that. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Yisach, the olam rabbanon hi. No, the Mishnah is authored by the rabbanon. Umay kitikunan. What does it mean kitikunam? Kitikunam the pigul. This is a very interesting explanation. They over here, the word tikun in the Mishnah does not mean properly. You did it properly, but rather tikun, it means you did it ben machshevet chutz l'zmano. Did the first six kitikunam means you did the first six with machshevet chutz l'zmano. And the seventh one, which you did shlo kitikunam, means you did it without the machshevet chutz l'zmano. So that's what it means, kitikunam and shlo kitikunam. It doesn't mean kitikunam, you did it properly, and shlo kitikunam means you did it improperly. No, kitikunam means you did it improperly, improperly with a machshevet chutz lizmano. And therefore, the Rabbonon are the authors of our Mishnah because they believe that you can't be mefagel b'chatzi matir. So since you did a machshevet pigul on 6 out of the 7, that doesn't help you still nail the 7th one. Doesn't matter if the 7th's at the end or at the beginning. Either way, that's called mefagel b'chatzi matir, and that's why it's pasul ve'im bel karei in our Mishnah. So that's the explanation of Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. The obvious problem, which the Gemara is going to raise right now, is the conclusion of the Mishnah is that sounds like tikun means lakshir. What does it mean, shelo ketikunan, at the end? If you think that the word tikkun means pigul and chutz l'zmano, then what does shaloki tikkun mean? Shaloki tikkun means you didn't do it machshevet chutz l'zmano, you did it with machshevet hechsher? That doesn't make sense. Why would you say that? Why would you phrase it as shaloki tikkuna, that you did it improperly? If you think he's doing it right, why are you calling that improper? So now, Amar Rava, Rava says, I'll explain to you how to read it. I think Rosh Hashanah Yisuf is right, and I'll explain how to read it. My shalok tikuna. Shalok tikuna doesn't mean he did it right, but rather chutz limkamo. He had a machshava of chutz limkamo. So that's wrong for chutz lizmano. If I say tikuna means I did 6 hazaot with a machshevet chutz lizmano. The 7th end, I did shalok tikuna means not with a machshevet chutz lizmano, but rather with a machshava of chutz limkamo. Now we know from our Mishnayot earlier that when you have a machshevet chutz limkamo mixed in with machshevet chutz lizmano, it ruins the chutz machshevet chutz lizmano, and it becomes pasul ve'ein bo karet. And that's what it means in the Mishnah, ki tikuna, shlo ki tikuna. Tikuna means I have a machshevet pigul. Shlo ki tikuna means I don't have a machshevet pigul, but I have a machshevet that's going to ruin chutz lizmano, and that's shlom kimbo. Rashi Amar, shlo lishmo. He does the same thing, saying that it's shlo lishma, because these are chata'ot apnimiyot, and by chata'ot lishma is ma'akev. So he says, the first 6 were done, ketikuna means they were done with machshevet chutz lizmano. The 7th one was done, shlo tikuna means not with pigul of chutz lizmano, but rather with lishma, lo lishma. That lo lishma also ruins it, because you have to be kareva matirav, that you have to have chutz lizmano work, you have to have everything else done properly. Having the wrong machshav on the 7th one, according to the Chachamim, ruins it, because now you have a problem where you're only mefagel b'chatzi matir, and you have an iruv, a machshevet chutz limkamo, or lo lishma, which also ruins pigol. The Chachamim are the authors of the Mishnah. We've now explained the lashon of kitikunan and shlo kitikunan, and you don't then have to make the diok out of this, that if you said the wrong one first, if you did the first one improperly, and the other 6 afterwards, that would be chayab karet, because that's not true. We reread the tikun and shlo tikun to mean chutz lizmano and chutz limkamo, or chutz lizmano and shlo lishma. Based on that, we have then have no conclusion about Rabbi Meir's opinion. We don't know why Rabbi Meir in Menachot says the chatzi matir is enough to make a pigul. Is that because he believes chatzi matir is enough? Is that because he believes shtikol adam? But you don't have any proof from our Mishnah anymore if the Chachamim are the authors of our Mishnah. Now the Gemara says michlal. From this you would infer the chilo avidei chutz limkamo v'shlo lishmo. If instead in the 7th hazaah you didn't have any machshava, you did a b'shtika, that you'd be chayav. Sounds like the only reason it's pasul ve'im bo karet is because in the 7th hazaah you had a improper machshava, shlo bimkomo or shlo lishmo. But had you said nothing, then it would be chayav karet. And that would go against the position of the Chachamim. The Chachamim say that in order to be mefagel something, you have to have the wrong machshava in all of the matirim. Here you only had it by 6, not in the 7th. So then the Chachamim can't be the author of the Mishnah. The Gemara says no. Either tiny ratio pigul b'chaylevin of karet in the ratio of the mission when it's speaking about the chatat achitzona, where only one of the matan dam is me'akev. Over there it says if you have a machshav of chutz lizmano on the first matan dam and a machshav of chutz limkamo on the second matan dam, over there it's pigul b'chaylevin alav karet, since the only thing that's me'akev is the first matandam. Therefore, the only machshava that matters is in the first one. And therefore, when you had chutz lizmano on the first one, the chutz limkamo on the second one isn't malar morit. Therefore, tani nami seifa. In the seifa, it gave the same parallel case, which is, you have a machshav chutz lizmano in the first 6, and then you have a machshav of chutz limkamo on the 7th. And it wrote about that, pasul ve'ein bol karet. to parallel the structure of the first part of the Mishnah. Not to come to teach you a diuk, to say, well, if you did the first six with pigul of chutz l'zmano, and the seventh one b'shtika, that that would be pigul b'chayvin alam karet. That's not true. It's just paralleling the case of the first Mishnah. Just like the first part of the Mishnah says chutz l'zmano and chutz l'mkomo, so to the second half of the Mishnah is talking about a case of chutz l'zmano and chutz l'mkomo. And based on that, we will have no problem with the diuk to the Rabbanon's position, and therefore we can learn the mission according to Rabbanon. If we learn the mission according to Rabbanon, we have no proof to what Rabbi Meir's position is with regards to Pigul B'chatzi Matir. We'll stop over here.